Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, donkeys? Happy Wednesday to you. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan in D.C., 910 The Fan in Richmond, Odyssey app, wherever you may be. We are brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, March 22nd, 2023. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. Johnny Cakes Allville's here.
Hello, everybody.
And Jason Bishop.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
That is the foursome. It is a good morning. The weather is turning here, getting a little warmer.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to rain, though. Did I see that later today?
Possible drizzles.
Today? No, you'll be fine today. Possibly Friday.
But if you stayed up to watch the World Baseball Classic, which I did, you are sleep deprived.
Yeah, what time did that end?
11?
11:15? I don't know.
I watched it at 9:30, and then I just had to go to bed.
It was awesome. The tension at the end of the game was great.
I bet it was.
Started, you know, with another Trey Turner home run. We have the call on that. Trey hit 5 home runs in the World Baseball Classic.
On fire.
Yeah, let's play Trey to start and kind of fill you in on what happened throughout the game.
2-1 pitch. Turner hits another one down the left field line. He's done it again. It's gone!
You could see they had an isolated camera on DeRosa. And DeRosa, like, you read his lips, he's like, this effing guy. Because, you know, whatever. Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, 5 home runs in the series.
I think he hit like 4 in his last 7 or 8 at bats or something. Something crazy. Like, he was just on an absolute tear.
Yeah.
But the Americans were behind 3-1 until the 8th inning. And then another former Nat, Kyle Schwarber, stepped to the plate, and he had a long at bat. The one thing I'll say about the World Baseball Classic that makes me question the pitch clock. I think the pitch clock is a good move, especially for the regular season. Early reports were like the average game time was dropping like 30 minutes. All right. But the tension, we know when we watch playoff games and World Series games, they're really long games. And so last night's game was a really long game. I don't have a problem with it when something is
when
huge.
When it's intense. Yeah.
Right. And so Schwarber had a long at bat. It wasn't because he was stepping out at, you know, foul balls, just fighting it off. But here's Kyle Schwarber.
Back. Here it comes. Schwarber drives it to deep right field. It is gone into the second deck. It's a one-run game. What an at-bat.
He just crushes it. The Japanese had brought in Yu Darvish in the 8th inning.
Okay.
And I think Schwarber hit a home run off of Darvish in the postseason. And he got him again. And when Schwarber hits him, I mean, it's like no doubt. You heard that the color commentator basically giggle right when the ball came off his bat. And so it's a one-run game. And sure enough, almost a script, they bring in Ohtani as the closer. Ohtani already had 2 wins as a starter in the World Baseball Classic. and was hitting 435 in the World Baseball Classic.
Had a hit in this game.
In the Mexico game, which came down to the ninth inning, he led off that inning with a double. And I think he scored either the game-tying or game-winning run. Well, Ohtani ends up facing Mike Trout to end the game. And here's Ohtani versus Trout.
He throws. Trout strikes out swinging.
A nasty slider.
He threw a fastball 102
Ohtani
before that.
Sick.
Threw one 100, then the next one 100.
Championship.
Yeah, I tweeted,
I mean, like you
that,
said, you can't script it any better than that. That's exactly what people were thinking when this World Baseball Classic started, that Ohtani could possibly be facing Trout in a big spot in the ninth inning, and that's exactly what happened. And I mean, you can't make that up.
I got sucked into watching a lot of the post-game stuff, too, so that's why I was up late. It was A-Rod and Big Poppy, and eventually Ohtani came over with his interpreter
does
and everything.
Does he speak zero English, really?
I think he understands.
I'm sure he does.
But he just doesn't feel comfortable enough to speak English, I guess,
in an interview.
In front of the cameras. You know,
right.
Maybe that'll change down the road. But he is a unicorn. I mean, they kept pointing out, like, there hasn't been somebody like Ohtani for 100 years.
Mm-hmm. So I made my daughter.
I mean, think about that. It's been 100 years since there's been somebody who does what he does. And they even pointed out that Ruth only did it for 2 years.
Right.
I made my daughter come downstairs and watch it. I said, everyone says we got to watch it. It's going to be the most watched televised baseball game in history. And I was explaining to her what was going on, and I was saying, okay, this is Ohtani. He might be the best player in the last 100 years. Nobody know, you know, nobody's doing what he's doing. And she follows the Nats.
Yeah.
She doesn't know who Ohtani is. I'd explain to her, and then I said, and then that's Mike Trout. He's the other guy that might be the best player in baseball. She goes, who's Mike Trout? She goes, all these guys are on the eight. I go, I know.
Yeah, they play out west. Nobody ever sees
west.
Them unless
it's
you live in LA.
And the sad
like
thing
her,
is, though,
she has
probably,
no idea who these people are. She
probably
likes
doesn't,
baseball.
She probably doesn't know many of the current Nats. Like, does she know Candelario
or
third baseman?
Of course, she doesn't know any of the current ones. But
yeah.
But the superstars of the game that are over there playing. And then I explain, you know, Schwarber, all these ex-Nats, you know, Turner.
Oh. That's my bigger point about baseball is that kids your daughter's age are just – they're not really following baseball. Now, your daughter's, I think, is an outlier.
She
follows the Nats.
But
yeah.
And
if you're a big baseball fan, I guess you steer towards baseball. But
that's funny that you said that because we had practice last night, and as the girls were warming up, I said, girls, when you get home tonight after you have dinner, I want you guys to watch the World Baseball Classic. It's the United States against Japan in the championship.
You're influencing young minds.
And they all said, what's the W?
Yeah,
what's the World
know.
Baseball
I had
Classic?
The whole thing.
I didn't even get into the players.
Right.
I just said, look, support the Americans. They're playing Japan for the championship.
They don't even know what the event is.
They didn't even know.
Right.
They had no idea.
Yeah.
Nobody knew.
No, and, I mean, a couple of them were interested once I started to break it down and
to really sell them.
But they had no idea about, like you said, the players or the event. And I'm sure none of them watched it. But
most of our kids, I mean, your daughter, I guess, is into baseball. Most of our kids aren't into baseball.
She's
too slow.
Yeah. She likes it when it's on. She likes it.
I said your daughter's maybe an outlier.
Yeah, but
I don't think your son
like
was into baseball. I don't think his kids were into baseball
you think
at
my
all.
My kids are into baseball.
Jason's kids go to games. I don't know if they follow baseball.
Well,
I know my older two. I mean, maybe Isabella will be a baseball player. I doubt it. But they weren't into baseball. But I think they're trying to do things to address the situation, and that is the pitch clock. Taking away the shift. And interestingly, both Big Poppy and A-Rod after the game said, look at the Japanese team. They're not a team that is necessarily driven by analytics. So they play 90s baseball is what A-Rod said. They make a lot of contact. They take it personally when they strike out.
Yeah.
And obviously they got some damn talent when it comes to their pitchers because – I mean, Ohtani, you're right, was throwing 100, but they had other guys who were throwing like 99, 100 miles an hour. And they were saying that the gap between the Japanese players and the American players, it's closed. And obviously they've won a couple of World Baseball Classics.
Yeah, but it's not really fair. We didn't have our stud pitchers.
Correct.
That's true.
You know.
And Merrill Kelly, who started the game, he wasn't great to start.
But that's true, but what was the final score?
Yeah, it was 3-2.
Right? 3-2. Yeah. So what does that mean?
Well, we had our best hitters over there, and they couldn't hit Japanese pitching.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, so their pitching was great, but we didn't have our best pitchers either.
Well, I know, but you're going to go out there and win 2-0.
Maybe they would have scored one. I don't know. We didn't have our best pitchers.
I mean, it could have.
I think what's interesting is that, I mean, the sport has, I mean, Japan's won three of these.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a legit, they might be better than baseball than us. And their stars that come over here, they tend to do really well in Major League Baseball.
Hell yeah. They're great.
Some of them even better than they do in Japan.
And they're talking about a couple of these other pitchers that might be just as good as Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what happens when they come over here. But you're right. I should know this. Drab, maybe you know this. Mm-hmm. In the postseason, are they still going to continue the pitch clock?
I think so. I'm not aware.
Yeah, I got to check that. Into that.
I know listening to the game as I've been driving around, and you can listen to Nat spring training games here on 106.7 The Fan. It seems like early on they would mention the pitch clock, at least by my ears. And I'm not listening to every inning of the game, but listening to Jagler and Slows, they don't seem to be mentioning the pitch clock. The game's just flowing slightly faster. But I didn't mind the no pitch clock last night because it just was added tension. And it was great. It's kind of a shame that I don't think it's that unique that your softball team or your daughter didn't even know the World Baseball Classic was going on. It's not hyped up like the World Cup. Maybe it will change over time. It doesn't have the history of the World Cup. I was looking at the champions. You're right. Japan has won it three times. I think one of the times they did it after 3 years. So I don't know if they started off like we're going to do this every 3 years, and then they bumped it to the every 4 years like the World Cup format. But a great event. I mean, you had the drama in the Puerto Rico-Dominican game, where Puerto Rico wins late. If the drama in the Mexico-Japan game, I mean, Mexico could have easily been in the finals. Came down to the last inning, and Japan walked it off.
Japan
wins it.
This is what can't happen, is oversaturating it, where they can't try to up it to every
right.
year to try and do a WBC. They still need to have the single elimination and not do a series. That's the only, 'cause that's what made it so special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the format.
The format was great. The format was better than the regular playoffs, I felt like.
Yeah.
It's just with this one and done, that each team's giving it its all out there instead of, you know, hanging around for a game seven. Game seven, it was every game was a game seven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it was
no
cool.
You're right.
But, man, for Ohtani to come in after the game, Big Poppy, who, you know, was a designated hitter for the majority of his career, and Ohtani was designated hitter. But he was pointing out that Ohtani was having to run. He was running back and forth from, like, the dugout to the bullpen and, like, kind of getting himself ready. And Big Poppy was like, he's like, I thought he'd be tired. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still 10 minutes or 15 minutes to recover between innings. You're going out there.
Yeah. No, it's incredible.
Big Poppy might have been tired, but it's not going to be Ohtani that's going to tire out there.
Well, no, it's a very cool event. Yeah. It really is.
I'd like to see it.
In 4 years, if I'm still alive, and
yeah,
in 2026, I want to make sure that I kind of pay attention to more of the pool play, because I just didn't pay attention to it. Now, you know, I'm more into the NCAA tournament than I am this, but I tried to watch as much as I could last night, and I was watching that in the Caps. That's just we'll talk about that later. That's an embarrassing loss.
Loss.
What I'd say about the pool play though
it's worse than a bad loss. It's an embarrassing loss.
Yeah, you're probably right.
The pool play, yeah, you can pay attention to it, but for the most part, Italy, Israel, some of those
they got no
teams,
shot.
They're not going to get out of it.
Yeah.
But once you get to Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Venezuela,
Mexico,
Japan, United States,
of course,
then it's on.
Yeah.
I mean, the Czech Republic had a team.
Yeah.
I mean, Czech Republic MLBers are there, or have there been?
I would guess zero.
Probably zero. But you're right. I mean, once you get to the tournament, there's only four or five teams that can win it. But
well, I enjoyed it. Just text me 4 years from now when it's on again, and I'll put it on.
Okay.
All right, a lot to do on the show today. We will talk to the head coach of the Washington Capitals, Peter Laviolette's going to join us at 8:45. We do have Caps versus Islanders tickets. It is a game show Wednesday, so stay tuned for your chance to win those tickets. But coming up next, we'll tell you what happened with the locals last night in the Junkie Sports page on The Fan. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan in D.C., 910 The Fan in Richmond. Stream it on the Odyssey app, wherever you may be. Time now to open up the Chucky Sports page, brought to you by Offenbachers. Visit them in Annapolis, Rockville, or Herndon for a huge selection of outdoor furniture, fire pits, hot tubs, and swim spots.
All right, so we opened up with the WBC. The Japanese beat the Americans in the championship 3-2 last night. Of course, Ohtani gets the save. He had a hit. He was 1-for-3. Hit .435 in the WBC and got the save last night, striking out.
Incredible.
And he won the MVP. They had an MVP.
He won the MVP deservingly.
He hit .435, had 8 RBIs, had 2 wins, and the save.
Now, obviously, if the Americans had won that game, Trey Turner would have won the MVP with the 5 home runs that he hit, including last night. So, I don't know what the ratings would be or are going to be. It was obviously very popular as they got into tournament play. And all of the players took it seriously. And you had some big names for the Americans. And I'm guessing in 4 years, you'll probably have as big a name as you're going to get for the Americans, too.
Question so will we be able to get the pitchers?
You got to get some pitchers, some big-name pitchers, and I think you will. I think the popularity and the attention that it drew is a clear sign that you're going to get some better players in 2026.
But back to
but congratulations to the Japanese for winning WBC.
Back to EB's point about his daughter, though, it is a shame that Ohtani is the
he's
best
buried.
Player in the game. I know there are better pitchers, maybe, and there may be better hitters, but he is
overall
the best player in the game, and most fans on the East Coast will almost never see
him. It's only a matter of time because he has one more year left, and then he's a UFA, correct?
Yes.
And then either the Yankees or the Red Sox will sign him. He'll be on the East Coast.
Or the Dodgers.
I guess the Dodgers could.
Hopefully the Dodgers.
Or the Giants.
Yeah.
Let's hope for an East Coast team so that we can enjoy some of his prime years.
Or the Padres. Mm-hmm. They sign everybody.
Yeah, I guess
so. Let's hope, as much as I don't like the Yankees or the Red Sox, let's hope that one of them sign him. That'd be great. It would be good for baseball, actually.
But I still lament that this team and Mike Rizzo gave up on Trey Turner so early. And I know they thought they were going to lose him, and ultimately the Dodgers lost him, right? He had a year and a half left on his deal, and they said, let's trade you now.
Well, he thought he could get the best return he could at that point.
Well, we got a 250 hitter and a losing pitcher.
Well,
that's what we got.
You can't always guarantee that what you're going to get back is close to what you're dealing away.
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
that's
that pitcher,
just the nature of the game.
The pitcher they got last night pitched pretty well for the Nats, JoJo Gray.
But he pitched.
Do you know what his ERA is in the spring?
No. I think I saw it.
I mean, I know it's spring training.
I know.
Yeah, please.
It's a positive.
Let baseball cakes guess. 1.75.
Lower.
1.15.
Lower. Doesn't start with a 1.
0.65.
0.73.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
I'm just saying. I know it's spring training, and you're pitching against a lot of guys that aren't even going to be on the big teams, but it's a positive.
All right.
It's a positive. All right. So, but was not a positive was the locals last night.
Well, you did get to celebrate Ovi's 802. Thank you again to the Capitals. Who sent us the red T-shirts yesterday.
Yep.
I did go to my drawer. One in, one out.
Yep, that's the way you do it.
And they scored a bunch of goals, and the throne looked good.
I watched all of it.
Yeah.
All of the pregame stuff, and I watched the entire first period.
Did you get sized? Did you like all the
pregame
stuff?
Did you like the video with Backe narrating?
I actually didn't. I didn't hear it, because my wife and I went out to dinner.
Backe's boy, they're tight.
We were sitting at the bar, and they didn't have the volume on.
Right.
So I didn't actually hear that, but I was just watching everything. Yeah, I was getting pumped. And then, obviously, I went home, started watching the first period,
and it's
3-0. I said, they're ready to play tonight.
What I thought was so interesting was I just kept reading on my feed that Laviolette, when asked before the game, said, don't worry, they're going to come out fired
up.
I guarantee it.
Yep.
Something to that effect.
And he was right.
Worry, they're going to come out fired up. They're not going to have another slow start. And so I'm desperate to know what he said. Or is it simply just the emotion of the Ovi thing? I don't know. But they did come out fired up, and you thought, okay, well, they're going to be just fine.
Well, you can ask him at 8:45 because he'll be on the show.
Yeah,
I'd imagine it was just the moment they were fired up because of the celebration for Ovi.
I'm going to guess, no, he had some special words, too.
You think he cracked the whip?
I mean, he basically guaranteed they were going to come out and play fired up. Yeah, I'm thinking he went to the whip.
Well, I mean,
I'm thinking. Now, you could be right.
Maybe he did.
He'll say, I did nothing. I just knew the way they were acting, that they were going to come out and play well.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll say that. But I'm guessing he went to the whip one last time.
And I understand it's professional sports, and any team can beat any other team.
Yep.
In the pros. But when you got your backs against the wall, you're fighting for that last wild card spot, you're 4, 5, 6 points out, whatever it was, and you're playing a team that's already been eliminated from the playoffs, the worst team in the conference that has a wretched road record.
They're bad.
You have a 3-0 lead, mm-hmm. and then a 5-3 lead, and then a 6-5 lead with a minute to go. That's a brutal, embarrassing loss for the team. That's what it is. Won't tell Coach Love that.
Right.
He already knows it. That's an embarrassing loss.
But there is a positive. Ovi did score.
He did.
Course, it's time for the Chasing 895 feature on the Junks. He passed Wayne Gretzky for the most 40-goal seasons in NHL history on great 0-2 night. I guess that's how you would say it. To score the milestone marker, Ovechkin flung the puck toward awaiting Dylan Strome, who was tangled up with Columbus's Nick Blankenberg. The feed never reached Strome, though, as Blankenberg tipped the puck into his own net, earning Ovi the first goal of the night and a confusing play-by-play call.
Here comes Wilson and Strome across center. Ovechkin on the ice, too. Wilson on the left side, across to Ovechkin, to Strome, and they score! A great feed from Ovechkin to the right circle!
That was John Walton on the call. Chasing 895 is presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. But yeah, it's a really bad loss, and 1 point when they...
That's the worst loss of the season.
Probably is, and when they need 2 points.
Especially considering what, you know, the Ovi tribute.
Done saying that you're going to grasp? Can you go the rest of the season?
He's not done grasping.
I said yesterday, JP, if you were listening, I will grasp until they're mathematically eliminated.
Right. Well, it's getting close.
Tell me when they're mathematically eliminated, and then the grasping is officially over.
I mean, there's 10 games to play.
There's I appreciate that, Cakes.
I get it.
I appreciate that.
I understand the scenario that they're facing.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty grim.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, to allow 7 goals to the worst team in the league, it's just bad.
Right. I mean, we'll talk to Laviolette about it. In his presser last night, he goes, if you score 6 goals, you should win the game.
100% of the time.
he knows. Yeah. He understands what's happening.
Right.
He knows it's not optimal.
Did you watch the post game?
No.
So I wonder what
those guys... I just saw some of the presser online.
I wonder what those guys were saying.
Oh, I don't think the players were happy.
No, I'm curious like what Alan May and all those guys were saying afterwards.
Mm. Well, I mean, it was such a good first period. I mean, it kind of sucked that Columbus scored that late goal in the end of the first.
Right.
But, I mean, they came out firing. They were dominant. And then you just figured, okay, they're going to roll on this game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I wake up this morning, and I couldn't believe what I saw.
You can't let them score the equalizer with 47 seconds left. Like, mm-hmm. you got to wrap that thing up and get those 2 points.
It's a lost season. They had an amazing December when they were winning all those games in December. You thought that it could be a special season. Then they lost John Carlson. And that apparently was the turning point of the season.
Before the game, when they were doing the tribute and they did the celebration and his family's out there, I couldn't believe, is his brother a twin? He looks just like him.
I'm pretty sure they're not twins.
I know, I don't think they're twins, but he literally looks just like Ovi.
Yeah, that's genetics.
I know.
Usually brothers tend to look alike at times.
They tend to, but he looked exactly like him. And of course, his wife is a 12.
Though my brothers, they don't look alike.
Well, you're adopted, and yes, they don't look alike.
Yes, right. So that's my point.
Right. Well, my two brothers who are biologically
related
don't look alike.
A lot of times, one brother look like the mom, another brother look like the dad.
Yeah.
But they look...
But in the face, they might look alike. It's just the hair color, like, really throws things.
I don't think they look alike.
Really?
Not even one little bit.
Who was the younger guy that was out on the ice that was out there?
And, the younger guy out
on
the ice.
Yeah, he had a nice suit. He was a younger guy. Was he a former player? Who was that guy?
Don't know.
They obviously had Ted out there. They had the old dude. I don't know who the old dude was. And then they had a younger guy out there.
They had one of the Patricks. Is it Dick Patrick, maybe?
Yeah, Dick Patrick.
Yeah, and he's then, part of the organization.
He's got to be really old now.
I don't know.
No?
The Patrick family's been around the NHL for probably 100 years.
Maybe I'm thinking of David Poile, because he always looked really old.
He just retired.
Is retiring at the end, I think, end of June from the Preds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's 71, I believe.
Right.
He's a hockey lifer, that dude.
For sure.
So right now, the Caps, with 10 games to play, have 74 points. Your current playoff teams are Boston, Toronto, Tampa, Carolina, Jersey, the Rangers, the Islanders, and I believe the Panthers. I think the Panthers.
Panthers have 79
points. Did you bet
points.
On the Caps? Is that why you're so angry?
No, I bet on. I actually bet on the Blue Jackets. Yeah. I told you. I'm just going to fade them.
Okay.
But I'm not putting a lot of money up, yeah. So it doesn't really. I mean, it's not like I put $100 up.
Them.
It's unfortunate.
It's just a bad loss. Really
it's,
bad loss.
It's unfortunate. I brought this up a couple weeks ago. I looked at the last three NHL seasons and looked at how many points the last team in had. Mm-hmm. And the Caps were the last team in, and the average was like 97 or 98 points. The most they can get now is 94. They're not going to get it done. I mean, every year it could change. It could be lower, but
they're not.
It's okay. They've had an incredible run.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully they can put together another run in the next couple years. Look, it's okay.
McClellan sold
teams
off
have
pieces
bad years.
At the trade deadline.
Right.
He knew kind of what was happening. He knew the landscape. So Laviolette's trying to do this with a hand tied behind his back with a bunch of his players dealt away. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not making an excuse for him, but nobody expected them to make a playoff run anyway. So for them to fall short, it's kind of the way that
I know, but when you still have mathematical chance to get there,
I understand
and
it's
you're playing bad teams,
I'm frustrated
you got to take
too.
Advantage
it
of
stinks.
It.
It stinks.
I wanted to ask your opinion, Cakes. When they did the video of the other greats in the NHL, like Austin Matthews was part of it.
Right.
I can't remember everybody was part of it. How did you feel that the first one was Sidney Crosby jocking Ovi?
I mean, those guys have...
They're rivals,
but they have a healthy respect for each other.
You didn't like that
point.
He was profiled? You
feel
like I'm
wondering,
because
I know Kinks has vitriol towards Penguins. He probably didn't even want him in the video.
As I get a little bit older, that fades somewhat. I mean, I'll never root for the Penguins, but, I mean, if they show Sid Crosby on the screen for 30 seconds, it's not going to ruin my day.
Well, it's Sid paying homage to Ovi. So
and Ovi would do the same for him.
Yeah.
Like when he hits his big milestones.
Right.
All right, so that was the Caps' demise last night. Wizards, they're done as well.
That's almost as embarrassing.
Right, what did they do last night?
Well, they lost to
Orlando.
Lost to the Magic. Now, that's not as bad a loss as the Caps losing to Columbus. It's
kinda
bad.
It's kind of close.
But I think that the Wizards and Magic are just kind of on par with each other. You know
well,
what I mean?
They are. Yeah. They're in the same just disgusting part of the standings.
Yeah.
Underneath the 10 spot.
They've lost 8 of their last 10 games.
Yeah.
At the All-Star break, they were in position to at least be in the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
At least. And the thought was, and the reason why they didn't really make any moves other than trading away Rui Hachimura for nothing, was that Tommy Shepard was selling Bill of Goods, well, when our big three's together and this and that. And, well, for the most part, and I think Kuzma didn't play last night.
Yeah, why didn't Kuzma play?
I think he had some sort of weird injury. I forget exactly what it was, but
he had an ankle.
The only teams, by the way, with worse.
Yeah, but I think it maybe had to do something with a fan.
Mm.
I can't remember exactly.
An actual human fan or a fan, an oscillating fan?
No, a human fan. Like he tripped over.
What are we going to say, Kicks?
The only teams with worse records than the Wizards right now. The Magic, the Hornets, the Pistons, the Spurs, and the Rockets. That's where they are.
Magic are right with them. They basically have the same record.
Yeah.
You know, 30-43, 32-40, they're basically the same team.
Yeah, just a bad basketball team. And now they're 2.5 games out of that 10 spot. So they're done. They've got 10 games to play. Like you said, they lost 8 of 10 and 3 straight.
Actually, it says here they suffered it early in the last game. I can't remember. I heard something, some sort of freak injury. Anyway.
Maybe he tripped. Like the fans are right on top of them. Maybe he just was running down the court and stepped on a fan's foot or leg and tweaked his ankle.
It's a shame. And I thought that giving Beal that max contract at the time was the wrong deal. And somebody tweeted this morning and said, look, they've tried to build the team around Beal, and it's been basically 4 years. Not working.
Not working.
Not working.
You're 100% correct.
Like, he's a good scorer. And actually, if you look at his efficiency numbers this year, they're pretty good. But he's not a guy who lifts you up to win.
But I would say this, and I don't want to put too much pressure on Beal. He's not good enough to just kind of carry a team. But if you are making that kind of money, you've got to lean on your superstar. And he was terrible last night.
He's not nearly as good as a guy like Donovan Mitchell, who's made Cleveland a contender in the East. Maybe they're not as, you know, legit contender when you compare them to the Bucks or the 76ers.
I mean, they're 18
games, the other top teams,
18 games above 500.
That's
pretty damn good.
Oh.
Yeah.
But he's getting, you know, he's getting that max deal because he made all NBA like third team that one season, and that's part of the deal. If you make all NBA
third team. What's Porzingis' contract situation?
He has a player option after this year.
So he'll opt out of that.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to opt out for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why wouldn't he?
He'll get a multi-year deal from somebody, whether it's the Wizards or
not. So they could actually lose. They're likely to lose him, you think?
I don't know what their plans are. I don't know if they want to keep one or both of those
guys. I would
think
if the Wizards have anything to do with it, you want to keep Porzingis. He's been awesome.
But it has to be mutual.
Right.
Are you going to keep Porzingis and Kuzma?
Maybe you let Kuzma go because that hasn't worked. But Porzingis has been fantastic. I mean, he's more of a unicorn than Kuzma, as much as I like Kuzma. I would keep Porzingis. Would you? You wouldn't? You'd let him go?
Oh, I'd prefer to keep Porzingis. I would do everything I could to deal Bradley Beal.
But it's probably
not going to happen.
I feel like that ship
they gave him a stupid no trade clause too.
You gambled on the Beal thing and it didn't work. So whatever, you're saddled with it.
The time to trade Beal.
What can you do
before they gave him the supermax?
It didn't work.
They had a window to trade him where he actually had a lot of value, and that ship is now officially sailed.
It didn't work.
Guys moved though.
Okay, but other teams saddled with him.
I mean, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving moved during the season.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, but they're
I'm just going to assume
at least
probably
Durant
can't.
Is worth his salary. I don't know if Kyrie is. Durant's worth the salary. Bradley Beal is not.
I know. My point is you can make deals.
You can.
There are teams that would value Bradley Beal.
Not at that number.
Not at 50 plus million. They're not going to swallow that poison pill. Impossible.
Let's just assume you can't. So you keep Beal, whatever it is, what it is. You're effed. You got him. Porzingis, would you keep him? I would keep Porzingis.
I would make an attempt to sign him.
Yeah, and then if obviously the trio's not really working, so then I would probably
let Kuzma go. Yeah, you can't bring those guys back.
But I would bring Porzingis back.
Okay, I'm just saying
he's too good.
Kind of overhaul the roster. The roster clearly is not good enough.
Yeah, but I think Porzingis is a good piece.
Eric's fallen into that trap of let's just be average. That's big salaries.
It's
not
going
to get you anywhere. You have to tear it down, or you have to be really good. And they can begin to tear it down this summer by letting Kuzma and Porzingis go, and then finding a way to trade Beal. I think Beal is definitely still tradable.
He's got a massive
contract, but there are teams that would be interested in him.
I don't know how many would be interested in that number.
I'm not interested in tearing it down and just winning 20 games. But if that's where you want to go.
Neither is Ted.
Yeah. That's where you want to go.
That's the problem.
I would try to sign another free agent or something, I guess. I don't know. You can't.
Yeah. You can't with those contracts.
Well, the teams seem to find ways. They always do.
I would blow up the whole thing.
I would too.
Yeah.
Just ship a bunch of dynamite.
If you get rid of Brad, go ahead. Get rid of him. That'd be great.
Oh, they would love to.
So Beal this year, I'll say again, he's been more efficient. He's shooting almost 51% from the field. And Porzingis is nearly a double-double guy. Where's his rebounds? Right around 9 rebounds a game, I think. 8.4 rebounds a game. I would keep him. Kuzma, I know you guys like him more than I do. He is averaging 21.2 points.
I would so
game,
part with
Kuzma. But he's shooting 45% from the field.
I can't get into the numbers and the stats. I can't do it. The stats don't matter because the stats lie. Those stats all lie because their team is 32-40 and they're 19.5 games out of the playoffs.
I think the important stat is what they are with the three of them together, and it's not very good. So that's why I would just move on.
Yeah.
All right. Gotta take a break.
Real quick. Last but not least, Kim English moving on from George Mason, going to Providence.
Going to get a nice pay bump.
From Randallstown High School.
Very good. Good for him.
2 years at George Mason, going to Providence, and I'm trying to figure out what my man Dwayne Simpkins is going to do.
It's been musical chairs with coaches, right?
Yes, it has.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of guys just moving around.
We'll see what Mason does.
Move the chess pieces around. All right, phone number you want to chime in on anything, you can always call us on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines at 800-636-1067. We will talk more Caps. Peter LaViolette, their head coach, joins us at 845 here on the Junkies. Trav came in here during the break and is bringing up Lou Carnesecca, who famous coach at St. John's back when Chris Mullin was playing.
Right, back in the 80s. Back in the early to mid 80s.
And I guess he was at the press conference for Rick Pitino being introduced as a head coach at St. John's.
Rick.
I mean, Rick Pitino's 70.
Yeah, he's in his 70s. 70.
Lou Carnesecca, so he's like, man, you should see what Lou Carnesecca looks like. He looks horrible. He's 98 years old. Right, like,
he does look horrible, but he was like, never a looker. He's really never attractive. He's always been ugly.
He's bucking the odds. Because, like,
of course he
is. Actuarial tables, does a male live like 77 or 78?
Well, we're going way down. Here in the United States, we're going
down. Okay, so 70, say 76 or 75. 75 I don't know what the number is.
It's going down, bud.
He's outkicking the coverage. 23 years.
Yeah. Okay, because it's incredible. And I hope that I look like him when I'm 98 right. years old. I would love it.
It's got to be rough, though.
It was jarring.
I'm 53, and so I honestly don't like mirrors anymore. Can you imagine how much
don't
he must
break
hate
all
mirrors?
The mirrors like the dude in Red Dragon?
No. I don't
mirrors,
like mirrors.
He looking himself.
But can you imagine if you're Louis Carnesecca and you're that ugly? Like, he literally
he just happened to be alive, like Draft said.
Yeah, not only is he alive, he's at a press conference talking basketball.
Right.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Hey,
he's with it.
I'm kind of excited to see what kind of play he'd draw up. If you asked him to say, like, hey, let me see what you got for a buzzer beater.
Right.
Uh-huh.
He caveman
probably
passes the boulder to another caveman.
He could probably still get it done.
Yeah, he probably doesn't realize there's
a shot. He definitely would run the weave.
Yeah, he doesn't realize there's a shot clock.
He looks happy.
I didn't realize he was 98. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, his first year at St. John's was 1965, and he was there almost 30 years. I mean, coaches just don't coach 30 years.
No, of course not.
You know what, Cakes? He probably saunas every day. He probably saunas.
Who knows? He might. I don't know what his health
regimen is. He might melt
in
a sauna.
Yeah. Valdez, did you put yours away?
The last one I did was on Sunday.
Oh, I put
it away.
Oh, nice.
I do a sauna. I do a sauna every Sunday.
All right. I like
it. Or bed. Then a sauna, cold plunge, and then bed.
If I'm Louis Carnesecca, there's no chance I'm staying in the sauna more than 8 or 10 minutes. Yeah, like, that would literally kill him.
I did 20 minutes last night, and I'm just counting down the seconds. The last 5 minutes are hard for me. Anyway, we want to touch on real quick just the Murdaugh family, you know, which the country's been fascinated by this story. Of, you know, I mean, this monster dad that shot his wife and his son and, you know.
Took a long time for the jury to convict him, too.
Yeah,
they
took about
like 3 hours. They said
I think they literally decided like 20 minutes and then they just hung out and had pizza.
Right.
But anyway, and so now, you know, remember, correct me if I'm wrong. So the dad has been convicted of killing his wife and son.
Yes.
The son was involved in what? Another guy or another girl's death on a boat?
No, guy.
It was a guy, right?
Yeah, guy.
No, that was the son that was killed.
Understood.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And so those two were involved in the deaths of others, I mean directly.
Yeah.
And then now they're suggesting that the alive son, Buster, may have had a gay relationship with this kid who was openly gay. And who they initially said died in a car accident, but now they're saying they may have had a secret relationship. And I guess they're alleging that Buster, the surviving son, he may also be a murderer.
Wow.
Are they the most evil family ever? And this family, apparently, you watched the doc. I couldn't get through it.
Yeah, I saw the doc.
This family was super powerful.
Yeah, they've held power in that county in South Carolina dating back like 2 or 3 generations, maybe even longer.
Like a super powerful socialite family,
right.
And there were monsters. Monsters.
Yeah, they wielded their power and influence for decades.
Now, is there?
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
there were two. Didn't they prove there were two guns?
I don't know.
Believe so. I believe that's
correct. Wasn't there a shotgun and a rifle?
Shotgun and a rifle. Yes.
I was talking to. I didn't tell you this. I don't think. When I was on vacation down in Charleston, mm-hmm. I was coming out of a restaurant. We had lunch at a restaurant in Mount Pleasant.
Okay.
And the guy came up to us because we had our dog. And he said, you know, that's a great looking dog, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. Started talking to him. He's a cop.
Yeah.
In that same county.
Okay.
Walterboro County, I believe what it's called.
All right.
He said he's been to the Murdaugh compound many times.
Right. Mm-hmm. The Moselle, is that what it's called?
Whatever it was called. And we talked to him for 20 minutes, and he mm-hmm. told us his theory. He said his theory was, and a lot of people down there, their theory was, that the son shot the mom. And when Alex Murdaugh saw that, he shot the son.
Why would the son shoot the
mom?
He
said there was a lot of
tension,
and people knew it in the town. There was a lot of tension within the entire family. including the mom and the son. And he said that was the theory of a lot of the insiders down there. The son shot the mom, murdered the mom, and then that's when the dad shot the son.
Well, that's a wild allegation, but, I mean, he's plugged in.
I didn't even think about that.
I would love to know. I don't know. That's fascinating to me. Tell me more.
That's what he told me.
Okay, I believe it. Send me to a Reddit thread or something. I'll go down and read it.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? That was just his opinion.
I want more details on this Buster dude. How did people? I know they're saying there's kind of rumored that he had a relationship with this guy, who again I guess was openly gay. Where's the evidence of that? Where's the evidence that this guy had a secret relationship with him? Where's the evidence that this guy's involved?
You gotta do some digging,
because it's staggering to me if everyone in this family just turns out to just be murderers.
That would be.
I mean, it's like the worst family ever. I mean, I can't think of a worse family.
Yeah, I think in Dexter, the sister started killing people, too.
I think you're correct on that. Yeah, I might need to go back and read this in Dexter.
Well, I think it said they went to high school together. Right. That was the rumor. But they had
a secret relationship, is the rumor.
Right, and then something happened. Maybe he was going to out Buster or something, and then the kid got ran over by a car. They ruled it as a hit and run.
2015,
But the mother believes that he was beaten to death.
Yeah. I thought they said his body, from watching the doc, sounded like it was staged to look like a hit and run in the street, but the autopsy didn't really jibe with
it. There were, no skid marks or anything
that. I believe all
a lot of questions around it.
I'm sure he was murdered. I'm just wondering, did Buster do it?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's incredible. It's the most incredible thing ever, this family. They're the worst family ever.
You're never going to know exactly how it went down.
People that live in that small podunk town are terrified of that family and crossing that family.
Because they'll freaking kill you.
When those people are interviewed, they're like, I might wind up in a swamp if I cross some Murdaughs. You know, it's
unbelievable.
They run the town, basically.
There's got to be more. There was this documentary. They got to make more.
That cop,
more documentaries
that cop said that there was always issues there. They were always at the house.
Right.
He said nothing really violent, but just a lot of tension.
Just lawlessness.
Yep.
Drinking. Yep. They showed, the one part I saw of the documentary, the kid that when he would start drinking, the one that died, his hands would get all stiff.
And he had
all
he had an alter ego name for
when
he started getting hammered.
He just became a monster.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Scary.
Coming up next, Ed Cooley has taken over as the head coach here in Georgetown. And people here are thrilled. But what are they saying in Providence?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.